me just say, what we're going to do today is, no one came back to me on the environmental MDG, so I haven't asked them to be here. So we're going to take the input on the water MDG, get it over and done with. Then we're going to deal with the legislation and try and go through it as far as we can and see. Then if we can, we'll deal with the oversight report of the SUTU. And then the two BRR reports. So as you can see, it's an enormous amount of work, especially because most of these reports we haven't read yet. I mean, I haven't read the two BRR reports at all yet. Shireen has worked very hard, Ms. Dawood's worked very hard on it, but obviously we've not been very fair with our time limits. It's very difficult to deal with, and particularly we gave them a lot of things to raise. So we're going to have to sit and literally read through those reports and change it as we go. So there's really a huge amount of work we need to do. Now, there's also been a further change. You will recall that when I went to a meeting around the Nagoya Protocol and the Lesotho Highlands Agreement, it was indicated to me then that they thought the water issue is important and we should have a full debate on water. I indicated, well, that's fine. Although we've only dealt with a technical report that was drafted by and agreed to by the executive, which is what we want to pass, but if you want a debate on water, that's fine, but on condition that the minister and the department participate. Because we're going to have a full-on debate on water. I mean, it would be ridiculous for us to sit here and not have the bigger picture from the minister. So they then agreed with that and gave me the task to go and check with the minister. The minister is back overseas and was ready on Thursday. They then indicated, well, they can't do it on Thursday because there's some budget, something or the other. You know, I think it's the budget adjustment thing on Thursday. And then they wanted the whole debate on Tuesday. I said, well, I've indicated to you that I'm not prepared. I'm unhappy to have a debate that the minister is not going to win. It's a whole water debate. So we're now back to just the report being passed on. So both Nagoya and the water report are going to be passed on Tuesday. I'll obviously introduce it as the committee chair, and then I've insisted, and you may just check with your parties and let them insist that I know members wanted to make at least a declaration of 3 minutes, and so that they can say something about the project as well. So it's not just so that's important that you just follow that up with your whoops, please. So those two, the Nagoya and the Lesotho, are going to now be dealt with on Tuesday, and there's not going to be a full debate. It's just going to be a passing of a report with declarations. Okay? I don't think the Nagoya is a declaration. I think it's just probably out of your report. So, Shireen, I've already spoke to Scottney about the water one, but get me just a simple one or two pager on Nagoya that I can just read it on behalf of the committee. It's not something that we really have to worry about. Very technical. I've also today in my pigeonhole received, and I'm not even sure where it comes from. This one looks like it's from Parliament. It's an analysis of the patterns of expenditure for the social cluster, which includes our two. And then there's a document, I'm not sure where this comes from, looks maybe like the research unit, on water affairs. Unfortunately, both of them arrived today after we finished our hearings. It's a bit difficult to make use of it. But I mention it, and I'm going to let copies be made, at least they can send to you, you can have a look at it. Ms. Glomo is back. I'm also want to announce that you may or may not know that Hitman Tebe, our whip of the ANC and a long-standing member of this committee, has now undergone training for in diplomatic skills, which I thought he needed, and he's now going to become the High Commissioner of Zambia. very suddenly, so we haven't really had time to prepare and properly induct you here and so on. But Ms. Dormer, very welcome. You will find that this is a committee that I think functions relatively well, and we really deal with issues and not personalities and necessarily narrow party political issues. So I hope you enjoy your stay here, and as I've said, until I have a time to properly talk to you, please, if you feel you need to raise something with me, please do so, and of course, Chaleka is there to help you as well. So very welcome in our committee. Well, those all went on. Oh yes, I've also finished the, I've looked at all the submissions, well, a lot of them haven't arrived yet, but we've also now created the spaces for the public hearings. I hope that Chaleka will process you for the public hearings in the next 2 weeks around the National Water Resources Strategy. There's a lot of submissions. Tuesday, Wednesday next week, we set aside with 5 submissions on each day in the morning. And then the next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Please note, Friday the 2nd of November, we also have to set aside for submissions. And as I said, we'll let you have the list of submissions of people that are coming to make submissions. And then hopefully Chaleka will also have to, in drips and drabs, give you the submissions themselves. Because as I say, many of the people that have indicated they're coming haven't given up the submission. Only about 5 or 6 of them have, which I've accepted. And I'm going to take those submissions as late as possible, even where I don't have time to read them through. I want the broadest group of people possible to come and give. And I think there is a good spread. Some NGOs, definitely some government structures, business, COSATU, etc. So there's a good spread, I thought, that are coming to talk to us. So you'll also get all those matters. And then, as I said, I think we should reschedule and change our program for the rest of the year. Try and deal with the NEMA stuff and so on. We haven't fully done that yet. When I'm ready, I'll give it to you to comment on it and see if you're happy with it. Those are the issues. Now, over to you, Mr. Balser, welcome, and Mr. Fred Van Sale. Nice of you to be here. I just thought it was necessary that the committee gets an update of where we are with achieving the, or attaining our goals with the NDGs. We received a written report from Environment, and they also are still engaging with Treasury, so that's why we don't have that yet. But I thought let's get an update from you guys and to see where we are. Mr. Balser, over to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Chair, Honourable Members, good morning. I'm Trevor Balser, Chief Operations Officer for the Department. I've got with me Fred Van Sale. He will be doing the presentation. If I could, Chair, just also record the apology for DG Max Sechenia. He's on an assignment in the Free State meeting with Water User Associations. So I delegated me to come down here today. Without anything further, Chair, if I could hand straight over. Sorry, I do have Vincent Monene from my office here as well, and also Errol Mahoba from the Parliamentary Office. They are supporting us as well. Without further ado, I'll hand straight over to Fred to do the presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chair, members, thank you. I think last year we had a very good debate, and I just want to give you an update. I also took the liberty to add the latest revised Outcome 9 performance agreement. Let me see the amendments we made to focus on more actions and to make things happen. And I'll report on that as well. All right. The first thing I will do is just to confirm the MDGs and the goals, that you all appreciate what the goals are. Then I'll present the progress and perspectives. And in that, I'll and I will also highlight some big issues and international perspectives. So just to get back, I just want to confirm the NDG goals that we understand where you're coming from. As we stated in the past, I thought of just capturing that again. It was developed in September 2000, under 89 countries signed it. There were initially 8 goals, around 18 targets, and 48 indicators, and in 2008 it was changed to 20 targets and 60 indicators. But the issue is what the target is to achieve these goals by 2015, and the reference date is 1919. So the 8 goals, I listed them, the first one is eradication of extreme poverty and hunger, achieve primary education, promote gender equality, reduce child mortality, improve maternal health, combat HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, ensure environmental sustainability, and develop a global partnership for development. So in saying that, I'm just jumping this now because how much are water-related? Previously I reported to you that most of them are water-related, but formally, there are only one water indicator. So we can, those others are in flight, but only target 7C and the goal 7 are directly stated as water goal. And that 7C says half the proportion of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water. That's urban and rural. Under that one, there's also the target 7C of proportion of people without access to basic and acceptable sanitation services. The chair is not going to report on sanitation services as this has been moved over to all human settlements, and the pool basic services for all their programs are with them. So I'm not going to report on the sanitation side. So just as the dwarf response on these, this target 7C, the first one that the NDGs were developed in 2000, so Africa already initiated our targets in 1994. So we, 6 years prior to the world, we initiated the actions. And I want to make sure that you understand this, that when you talk about NDG goals, so Africa set the target to address the total backlog by 2014 versus and 100% access. I mean, this is two things. It's 2014. Versus halving the backlog. And just in terms of the reference figures, we estimated our reference also 1994, not 1990. That's when we started the business, so they agreed to this. We had about 59% coverage of 41% backlog. So halving the backlog means halving 40%. So the NDG target for South Africa is to achieve 80% coverage by 2015. Just to explain the NDG is 80% coverage, our target is 100% coverage by 2014. So we just understand the difference between ourselves and the NDGs. So just to report back quickly on our progress, I think we've done well. We took the rule by the walls and initiated excellent policies. We've got legislation on it. We established dedicated programs. There's a comprehensive water service business framework that's happening. And to report that we've already achieved the MDG, I talk holding the backlog, in 2005. We've achieved that. And the present status as October, we did the hard work over the last month, is 94.9% coverage. But I want to explain this, and I'll come back to that. It's access to infrastructure, not necessarily functionality. So moving from that to that, so just to highlight that, and I just put the slide together. In 1994, we were at 59% with a 41% backlog. March this year, which was the official figure to release, was 94.3. And now we did a lot of homework and calculations and surveys. We say we're at 94.7%. 94.9% moving from March. So 0.2% improvement from March to now. What I want to highlight to you, look at those red arrows out down there. From 1994 to about 2000, we actually achieved a 2% eradication rate per annum. Since then, to 2010, around about 2009, we only got a 0.4 to 0.5% eradication rate. So we had a total slowdown. There are different reasons for that. The first one is that our initial target was 2008, and all the urban areas like Gauteng and Free State and Western Cape. out, you know, that
he's saying we've dealt with the low hanging fruit quickly and have pushed up our achievement, but it has slowed down now tremendously because we're really dealing with the difficult areas of Transkei, Kopo, and those other. That is what slowed down the.
That is a critical factor, as well as possibly the direct management we're going to try, but the difficulty is the low hanging fruit was the frequenting actions.
The cities, the urban areas, the built up areas, and we're now dealing with areas where municipalities are weak. That's good. Where apartheid has got a huge backlog.
I hope that you know that the official, the 2011 census will be released on the 31st of October, stated by the Statistician General. I saw it last Thursday, so he said it's on October. So I thought, you know, I begged him to release it, but I can tell you today this week that you can confirm. Because the last week, probably what was 11 years ago. So, you know, we all try to monitor and do the things. But in this whole process, that is a official figure on services, on household services. It's 13.65 million households. And from our last side, which is a combined effort, is 12.63. So that is that we're actually doing better. This was all the work. And we estimate by 13 now. And their progress from the general household surveys over the 3 years is 0.5 million households per annum. And we say we only do 0.2, but you take the urban side, the urban settlements, and the informal settlements eradication, and another 0.2 is about 0.4 million. So officially, Chair, if you look at the pure figures, more people have services everywhere than we actually officially declare. But this is only the household survey. We are aligned on population with the census figures, but the surveys, the unit working on surveys, are a bit different to the census people. So I thought I'd just give you this perspective. That there's a chicken as well as how to analyze the figures. But the big issue comes back, we add the next slide, if you see that's the same figure, but officially we work on stats, is if you get the bottom figure, how many households do we have in South Africa, how many people do we have in South Africa. So we use the official figure and their statements of household size. And according to their official statistics on people, we estimated 13.35 million households at present. Well, that was last year. But the GHS, the household survey team, plug and play all the time on their figures. And now they say that there are 14.7 million households. So if you look at the difference in households, more than 1 million difference in this business, if you look at percentage-wise, they will say we're 92.5%, while we say it's 94.3% last year. 2 years ago, we aligned them, the whole business. So I just want to highlight that this all depends on how many households do we have, and where are they, to calculate it. But in terms of our perspectives, it's about 2% difference. But I'd also want to highlight another issue from their side, because in anticipation from the Stats SA, that they say the increase in our delivery is 0.5 million households per annum, in terms of their surveys. But the total households increase is 0.46 million per year. So if you look at the performance, they say there's a zero performance because the increase is 0.46, the delivery is 0.49, so there's a zero progress. So in the report, you look at the household survey, you'll see a zero trend. Services equals growth. And they say that we've maintained that zero growth, 92% status now for 5 years. We are busy analyzing the building because we are partners in the South African MDG report. But in this whole process, this actual figure is not official. I'll get back to that then. And we also have to look at where these households are going. Is it in the urban areas or the rural areas? So I think it's more urban and the urban settlements, and also the high level growth in households as well. actually revising and backdating the household figures. Every year they change them by 4 years backwards, I mean, for reverse adjustments. But they are not willing to release it. It's not official. It's not, you can't get it. It's a calculated figure. It's not available. So we are looking forward to the 2001 census. Our figures are based actually on the real census and the figures. We also do surveys and we do monitoring for all VCOC and DHS reporting. And I will show you the validation that we do. So just a certain share of the 2% issue between ourselves and them, but it's based on how many people there are in South Africa or households. Just a strategic analysis on the trend. Based on the existing delivery trends, formal and housing related, the delivery mechanisms and the management, as well as funding and financial management, are the challenge out there. We say that the South African goal will not be achieved by 2014. We're not going to make that 100% coverage. The delivery trend is less than 5%, which implies if you take the 5 years left the trend, it will at least take 10 years to do this. Do we have no population growth? Now, as I said, the household growth figure is a major challenge. It equals the delivery trend. It's the major urban challenge more, I think, than the rural areas. But also what you stated, Chair, the more costly solutions we have done, the lower hanging fruit, and the more expensive ones are now up to us. And Treasury made it very clear, no additional funding for you over the MPF. So I thought it just convincing me of what I thought of this. The situation is that the trend is there, and we have to do what we want, work what we've got. So the second analysis is the business analysis, what's happening with the program management. Since we presented last year, there was no change in the delivery mechanism model. The formal backlog is with the MIG, and that's run by DCOC, not by DOC, and the municipalities. The housing related needs are informal settlements done by Department of Human Settlements, not by DOC. And there's very limited coordination still happening, and we report on that action. The second action is that's why I added out the outcome 9 delivery agreement. We had long debates in the outcome 9 task team and technical task teams that we have to improve out this delivery. We have to address it. So the refined agreement was developed, but not yet approved or signed. It was maintained by the presidency that we would have to maintain 100% access to the goal by 2014. But what's interesting in this document, it says sector departments must take leadership for their specific programs. That implies DWA must take leadership for water service, water supply. And then what we've included there, and I was co-designer of that, is that there's an extended action plan in it to take action and see what must happen. And then, Trevor, I saw from the minister that the early September conference did agree that we will take that leadership and action system. So this is the action that's going to happen. Now, just in that delivery plan, I want to highlight the actions to address this. This establishing a dedicated program, dedicated coordination and management oversight between the role players. And that includes signing MOUs or agreement with partners to say, you will do this, you will do that. That's stated in the agreement. We have to look at revising the policies, especially in urban areas. We're busy with extensive needs knowledge base. We're going back to each community and each district area and look at what the needs are. And then it requires some real strategic planning, an investment framework we're busy with. Interim services, I'll highlight that now. And we are focused on the 23 priority DMs. But the urban challenges are still there. I mean, the informal settlements. And then the agreement says we have to find effective delivery solutions per municipality. So it's a portfolio of investments we are obviously developing with each municipality. I think what's also important that we improve the project planning process management, the disciplinary process, and then effective implementation. That's a lack in our report on that now. And that's where MISA has been established by DCOC in terms of DCOC, the MISA infrastructure unit, and that's been approved by Cabinet as well. And then the critical issue is resource management, the funding and funding model, funding discipline. And then what we are trying to do now is get a comprehensive information monitoring system functional now. Because at the moment we depend on other departments.
What are you saying, that there's now agreement that you as DWA will create a structure to
me four working groups a little later on, and through those working groups we'll initiate that work of the coordination. Coming through onto that collaborative arrangement, we're still battling a little bit getting the other, apart from COFTA, getting human settlements and the other departments to be actively involved in the committee arrangements.
Human settlement, COFTA, and who else?
It would be National Treasury, and then Environment Affairs work with us, but also Health and Rural Development and Energy.
Services. Just make it very clear. And this year is 1.9. In total, only 4.8 billion rand projects have been identified within that, out of the 6.4. But even worse, the actual expenditure is only 4.3 billion, 67% of the earmark fund. And I'll get back to the provincial side now. Now, what we also have to say is that this expenditure includes financing of high levels of service projects. So they don't only spend this on basic services, they actually go on high level services. And then the very important one, the MIG fund, this has not been redirected into other areas. It still goes to the Free State and Gauteng and Western Cape. And 1.5 billion of the 6.49 is still directed to this old RDP completed provinces. So only 4.9 billion for needy provinces, and of that we see the poor issue. So we've got a bad to worse situation. We're not using the funds for its purpose. The projects are not there. Poor expenditure, high level of services, and most of the money, of 1.5 billion, is going to the other provinces, not where the needs are. So, Chair, I think it's a critical area, this financial management of where the money is going and how it's being spent. It's an issue that we have to deal with. Just on the provincial side, for last year, Eastern Cape received 1.44 billion rand from MIG. They only spent 24%. And the backlog is about 72%. So I took an aspect to that. 72% is a combined figure between myself and the province and Treasury to understand what's happening. KZN got 1.45, they spent 100%. So there's a dedicated team moving on it. The Mpopo only spent 56% of the money, but Mpumalanga 44% and Northwest 61%. So we talk about the 50% of the average for these areas. This is not good, and it requires a lot of discipline because the money is there, especially in Eastern Cape. This is not good news for this community perspective.
Will be taken into the working group on
just say that.
Just in terms of Fred referring that to me, that information hasn't been fed into those working groups in COPTA collaboration.
Yeah, I think what's important about this, the functionality is not only in rural areas where the backlogs are.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Carolina, some Middleburg, so I found it was critical this morning from Pittsburgh without water. And so it's a free state issue. It's a critical area, so it requires drastic issues. But in terms of the service, I'm just going to highlight one figure. We said 95% coverage, and on average of all the at least 2 weeks without water and regularly 2 days a week of interruptions, we found that so far, on the 24 games we're studying, that 11% of the people who are served are not unserved. It's totally not working. So it's like architects.
So because the functionality drags, I think it's down by 11%.
Yeah.
Fred, you know what? Your functionality is not functioning well. This is another slide now that cut off because you don't have the whole slide. You don't have the part. Would it?
I must say that when I checked the slides, I saw that the presentation cuts it out certain areas. I apologize, I'm going to apologize for this, and I will make it right, but as soon as we transfer it from one software, then I see that the slides are getting bigger.
And that's what I'm saying, just go and do another document.
Then it's interesting that the next slide you've got in your picture there is not showing on my computer now, but it's there. You'll see in your slide that what we've done, we start to investigate all the infrastructure. It's not on this little just in your presentation. I don't know, I suffered this morning to get that open. But the we've tried to identify all the water services schemes. And so far we've collected 1,664 schemes. It's on my computer, I'd like to show you on this system as I transfer it. So just to see the coverage out there, that you see that there's a lot of coverage right in the rural areas and very area, many areas. And I just, on the next slide, just to highlight the next one from Eastern Cape. You'll see the software going back again. All the schemes are about 190 water projects in Eastern Cape. 19,000 kilometers of bulk of reticulation. It's a massive area to manage, just to see that. And on that slide, I put up the communities of red in the back. The red means communities not having water, and the blue shows all the infrastructure out there. So I'm just saying that we're putting a lot of work together to analyze who's got water and who doesn't have water and the functionality. So that's just a baseline. In this whole process, we looked at functionality from different areas. And from our all-town studies so far, the grey we still have to do, we're busy with that. But 38% of the towns requires urgent water resources intervention. It's a pure water resources site. And that's we're supported by our water resources planning unit. And then when we analyzed all the all-town studies, we found that 83% of the towns don't have bulk meters or do water management with no control about what the water users are. So all the water losses on average 37%, some places up to 60%. So I just highlight that we start with the water resource side availability. If we look at the local government managing water resources, it's a major area that we have to rectify the demand for conservation measures. And many of them put in new infrastructure while they're not saving their water. And then just a summary slide there, Chair, is that we analyze these 1,064 schemes. We are looking at the functionality and refurbishment requirements, and 48% requires drastic refurbishment requirements. This is a problem. So I thought that when you talk about hotspots, it's more than just risk areas. This is now beginning a critical area for intervention. I added this. Going to selected areas. This is Sukurikuni in Limpopo. And 98% coverage of basic services out there. We've got 58 schemes in there which are identified. 78% of the schemes for the ODM problems, 69 requires urgent refurbishment. So now we're talking about big business. If we go to the Eastern Cape side, this is Alberton Zor, 12 schemes, 83% are in need of refurbishment. And those are people served. I'm not talking about the unserved yet. The same thing, Alberton Zor, 38% of the communities don't have access, but also by 34% of the communities experience ODM problems. So those who've got the problems, and the others don't have one. And this is Otago again, 44% don't have formal water supply, 48% communities are ODM. So just highlighting the operational problem. But this, and then this is coming from Delmas the other day, two weeks ago.
You know what you need to do, you say we've met our goals in 205, you're not going to meet our goals, and you say that we've decreased from a 2% to a 0.4. What we need to know now is, like you did in the picture, we need to know which are the areas which are draining themselves and that have slowed the person down. So like you've got that Sikakuni land and so on. I think what you need to do now is get slides where you unpack that in real terms. So you say there's these schemes, there's so many pipes available, so many this functionality. But what we also need is how much money, or that money you point out, have been given there, but it's not, and how much of this being spent, etc., etc. You know what I'm trying to get at? If you take those pictures you've got now and turn them into figures and a narrative, you can do that quite easily. Because you've got the picture now, it's a question of what makes the picture, what is the information behind it, and put it in figures and in a narrative.
Yeah. Sure, what I've done here, we are, as I told you, we're working on the all-town studies, we're working on schemes, but we're also busy going to every community to tell what is happening. And we found that vandalism is one of the bigger areas. Vandalism, this is Delmas scheme which we had, all the paper stories, but even they vandalized it, this is their pump station in Pietermaritzburg. Now being burned out. But the if you go to the list that we submitted to our minister, Trevor, these all towns, you go through this small community, says pumps broken, pumps stolen, pumps vandalized, cables stolen. It's just stolen, vandalized, broken. So vandalism is a culture about attitude against groundwater vandalism. It's a major issue out there which we have to deal with. I think.
If I could just speak to that slide, just to demonstrate the difficulties that we're dealing with as well. That particular slide shows is part of the wastewater treatment works at Delmas, which was upgraded as part of the intervention to deal with the cholera outbreaks that we had in Delmas each summer, and that plant was only commissioned about a year ago. And the technology used there, well, not in Birmingham, that's the technology for the treatment system is a quite a sophisticated technology called the IBAC system, and operating for less than a year, and now needing quite extensive repairs again.
But you see, the thing is, if you're saying to us that this is now becoming a major problem, then a picture like that's not going to help. What we now need is for you guys to start recording. And we get the municipalities to record and send the information to you. But to record all the information of what vandalism is taking place and how much it's costing. So that we can then, I mean, if you want government to act on something, I mean, of course we know it's bad vandalism, everyone's going to say. But if you start putting figures to it and it starts running into millions and billions, what government then has to do is do something about it. Because you then present it to them in cabinet to say, you know, so a picture like that, we all know it's terrible and stuff, but when it's going to start making an impact is if we have the information working. So I do think you guys must start collating and get all your partners in the sector to collate so we can report the cost of vandalism.
Thank you, we will do that. Just say we've partnered with a mutual IQ team that we will produce all these hotspots of the issues that are happening on a daily basis that start to be that monitoring.
Are those four working groups you said? One of them should have a function.
Chair, then, I just summarize quickly that the UW rival, that's all right. I like this is functionality, balance, and personal quality is a critical challenge. It's got serious difficulty, social, economic, health, financial, environmental, political, and security risk. I think the security side is all over the place. At present, as I said, no formal action, but the minister is taking this action up. As Trevor said, that this is the critical area that we have to move in. So the other areas is what we have to appreciate is the program complexity. We've got the formal backlogs, that's the rural areas, so that's an issue with DPOC and the MIG. And then you've got the housing related needs, which is exceeding our needs now. I mean, our backlog is calculated from a 7 million formal backlogs, formal 7 million households. Housing is about 2.2 to 2.3 million households that requires basic services. So it's a much bigger issue that's growing at the massive trend. The bulk services are put up there because bulk is also looking at high levels of service and combinations. But that's partly run by us, partly what I'm saying, because we've got a support action. And then the sustainable water management is now another dimension, then the water security side. So I want to understand the five dimensions that we try to put up in dealing with making sure there's more services. So it requires issues. So it requires strong leadership with the will and drive to put together, and I trust that we've got a mandate, but it will require discipline between departments. It's external program management and coordination, other departments running it. It's external implementation with the associated dependency of the municipalities. External grants and financial management. We don't run the other funds. The control of accountability is a partnership issue. And then important, these grants on waters are not ring-fenced. Except the RV, but the local government can do what they like. It's focused, it's not being pressed. And what we say that the grant compliance and financial discipline becomes very important. We have a funding deficit, but there's a huge outcry for increase in service levels at the moment. And what we then said, and this is the critical one, the delivery trend. We're not going to make that happen, so we discussed with the minister, and that's what Trevor referred to, the need for intermediate services. We want white 2 years' time to at least make sure that everybody's got something whilst we're doing the bridging system, and there's a difference between interim versus intermediate, there's a bridging. Let's get to something to everybody, and then we work on the program over the next few years. And as you stated, Chair, the critical need for proper information monitoring and reporting system. Because it becomes more complex and more dynamic system to touch on it to see the business. So, to respond on that, we're busy with a comprehensive needs perspective.
Maybe before I forget, to what extent is this input of yours integrated into the NWRA?
The information is integrated into the investment framework to a large extent. Core strategy 10, which covers the investment framework, will be include the full value chain of the water cycle and looking at investment not in only into new infrastructure but also into O&M governance.
Yeah, I'm just thinking why I'm asking. Remember, I could make the second day, and it may be there, that's what I'm asking. But like this thing, this idea of intermediate services, I mean, clearly for me, that should be part of that strategy. Now, as I say, I wasn't there the second day, so I'm not sure if it is or not. That's why I'm really asking the question, to what extent are these interconnections? Because it seems to me that's the major strategy that you are having. You say, okay, we still want to meet all this stuff. We still want to invite the same thing. But we now come up with this concept of intermediate services, which means we do this, and that's exactly what it means. So I'm just trying to think if that kind of thing is in the strategy or not.
Chair, you might not. We refer to it in the in when we do the presentations around the investment framework. But coming out of that investment framework, you'll have a number of sub-programs, and that intermediate water supply would be one of those sub-programs. So when we started last year with the preparation of the investment framework, post doing that, then Minister guided us down the track to put together that intermediate water supply, and that's intended to cover the 24 district municipalities that were identified through the cabinet report as those needing urgent attention, focused in the provinces of KZN, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape. And that program has been developed quite far and has been included in our submissions to National Treasury for funding in the 2013 financial year. It's a program to be able to meet, to get coverage, at least have access for everyone by 2014. On that intermediate program, we need to put the order of 2.2 billion over the next 2 years. The submission has been quite favorably received at National Treasury, and at this stage it looks like it will see the light of day in terms of taking it forward. We've, through our own reprioritization of the budget in the department, agreed to set funding aside this year to get the program management unit up and running, so that come new budget, once the budget has been secured, that we're able to hit the road running. We've also, through the engagement with COCTA, are impressing on COCTA, and the Minister have also met with the mayors from the affected district municipalities, that in support of that interim water supply, they've also got to reprioritize their projects which are funded under MIC to make sure that they focus in those areas where there are communities with no access to water. Likewise, our RFIC program, we're looking at rejigging that program as well to make sure that the bias is towards those areas where there's no access to water. The program will cover a range of interventions, from very basic water supply, single point source, windmill, reservoir, and access to water or motorized pumping system, and some very basic infrastructure. The walking distances won't be at an RDP level, but you'll at least be getting communities having access to a safe drinking water. And where possible, we will try and make sure that that infrastructure can be integrated into the longer term solutions, that there is very little redundancy. But there is a recognition that there might be some redundancy because of the nature of those of those programs. Also, we'll look at issues of getting the communities to make contribution to the projects by way of, if I could use the term, sweat equity, and particularly in KZN, there's been a good indication there that communities are willing, if we from government are making the materials and the expertise available, to put their contribution in terms of physical work on the project as well. So those are some of the interventions, but it's quite an exciting program that you've put together, and been quite well received in terms of National Treasury looking at it for funding at the moment. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Okay. Chair, just on the set, you asked a question being part of the drafting thing. At least 40% of the comments on the strategy was about water services. I like the diffusion we've discovered, but people ask us, why don't we have a similar water services strategy like we have in that water strategy, because of the total package. So that's the thing that we have to really apply in mind. But in terms of the issues under the water security side,
a national water services strategy.
That was a recommendation from the comments we've seen so far. The process. It's not just basic services and how to deal with this and get the roles. actions coming for the wastewaterworks. And then, as you said, on the investment framework, there are quite a few areas. So there are quite a few discovered all over the place, and we have to deal with that. But just on the key actions that we said, was not just sitting there. We have in partnership with rural development and in terms of the capital cut off last year and this year said we have to focus on the priority 23. It was 21 plus 2. Now we've got 23 plus 1 priority DMs underway. And our team from GWAS is doing a comprehensive investigation about all these DMs. Why we put up the extra one, if you go to KZN, there's a white island in with all the areas, and we did not address it. We add the whole complete KZN to add another one and one KZN as a broad area. In this whole process, Gerard will highlight some of the issues now. So we put in a comprehensive assessment of these areas. Then, as we stated, we develop and are implementing an interim intermediate delivery strategy and program. A lot of work is going on that, and that's why Trevor referred to that. How to make it happen and how we can get it, that we work on that by 2014, that at least everyone's got something that we survive. But it includes a delivery protocol focusing on who is not served at all. Let's focus on those that got nothing. And then selected functionality, because functionality is such a big animal. Possibly those are not totally dysfunctional. But we have to deal with that. But I want to say functional is not only these rural areas. It's over, all over the Almas and Free State as well. But I just want to highlight, focus on those who got nothing. And then I have to highlight the investment framework. We've got a whole chapter on water services. The whole complete value chain. Who is water resource? And we, by March, we would like to link those figures right to the projects on the ground that you can see it visually what projects are where. And then I think just to highlight the MISA establishment, this is the MISA infrastructure unit, has been established formally with COCTA, and they are committed to help us to work on the implementation side. So I want
MISA,
to
highlight the portal?
The portal.
What is MISA?
MISA is under COCTA, they establish a whole branch, as the DDG running it, the MISA infrastructure unit for implementation support.
And then what is there? Stop them asking Treasury for money for the boat.
Doesn't stop it, but what I'm trying to reflect is the strategic side coming out now. We've done 19 of the 24. This is some pretty good results. But it gives you a thing.
This is actually vital. This shows you nicely what
But also when you see the red, this is what we call the Melissa cell, when I showed it to one of the other clients. The red is still in the conceptual phase. So she said, we're still thinking about thinking to make it happen. You know? But those are the issues that it's there, but it's not there. But you see the actions happening north, and the reason why that is that it was a boundary shift, because the bottom side was of Oa Tambo a year ago. And Oa Tambo did not release the funds for those years to auditors also, so it's interesting. They inherited the backlog and things like that. So in this whole process, we are also identifying solutions, what should happen. The one is groundwater. Then we put up all the people and say, are there groundwater available? Are there neighboring authorities that we, those schemes, can we just link and extend those schemes? So I'm just saying the work that we're doing in this business. Just this one on Oa Tambo, which is I think our biggest crisis in South Africa at the moment. This is about 2,142 communities. 30% of the households and 44% of the communities have no access to infrastructure. So, Tata was partially good, but you know, I showed you previously that the functionality side, the red areas were in Tata as well. Lack of function, but I thought it's just setting the scene that you appreciate that going to find all these communities now, this is hard work, because Stats is not doing that. They will give you one population figure for that, because we're taking it out to another level. Those are the existing projects. Again, you will see it's red. It's conceptual. And then we add the other layer, is all the borrows, and see whether we cannot just quickly put the borrow team, we use borrows or neighboring schemes, etc. And then, but I don't know, I like this one as well. These are not all that bad. If you go to Amatora, you will not see selected purple areas up there. And we say it's only 1.5% or 2.5% of the villages that don't have big services. So some areas are working better. But I thought just highlighting that to you, Chair, that this is what we're doing with Trevor and the teams to start getting a touch and feel ground truthing about what's happening, and we're validating this with all the municipalities that we sit there with them, that they co-own these issues as well. And the same thing there with the activities happening on the groundwater site. So, Chair, I thought I'd just given that we're not standing still, we're putting a lot of effort on the last side to do some ground truthing and understand what's behind it and those actions. But I thought I'd just concluding with the international perspectives. The United Nations just brought out a report. That the world has met the water supply target, the MDG target. It was 76% in 1990, now it's 89%. And in four economic development regions, 9% of people serve. But two areas, and sub-Saharan Africa is the worst. We're not on track. We moved from 49 to 61%, the target is 75%. 40% of all needy people in the world is in sub-Saharan Africa. So I think it wasn't for South Africa and Namibia and two other four, there are only four on track. Then this figure would have been lower. So I just say the influence of South Africa would be in the African perspective. And in their own action, they also come back with three areas: water quality, reliability, and sustainability. The targets now, what's going to happen after 2015, and sustainability will be the key issue. So just as the way ahead, our core focus is on the intermediate services for those areas. Water security, and to be just, I mean, there's water availability to make sure the water resources are there. The functionality and service quality remains a major issue. And then the dwarf to lead, I put that for the inverted commas, I'll put 9.2, but that is to drive and to start coordinating this on a national and a provincial and local government scale in partnership with the provincial MECs. And the minister already had some discussion with the MECs. It's a complex challenge and we need to have clear mandates, otherwise it's not going to happen. As you stated, the effective information system, this is what we're seeing, will be an effective system that you actually also can see in other actions. And then, as we stated, the investment framework is critical to find out how much money we have for operation and maintenance and new capital, but also how we're going to stretch water in the refurbished areas. And then I think the implementation remains a major challenge. I hope that thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Comments, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Van Zyl, for the presentation. I think it's an excellent presentation. One of the things which is good to see is some of the things that this committee has been speaking about for some time on your recommendations page as well. So I'm very, very pleased about that. And look, I mean, I understand that your responsibility stop at one level and you guys are trying to go as far as it's feasible beyond that, just because you're the regulator and you have to monitor. Chair, it's always just worth saying it is excellent that this department has a grip, at least, of what is happening, even if you can't solve the problems yourself. And that is a credit, and I think it's the first step. So I appreciate that, and you guys deserve the praise. It's the only comment I make, I mean, it's a comment you already know, but it's just, I really feel like I have to restate it, and I know that you guys are working on it, is really, it's not so much the South African government issue, it's actually the United Nations issue of what is measured under the Millennium Development Goal, which is access to infrastructure. So I appreciate, we've done exceptionally well, and it's a credit that over the last 18 years, access to infrastructure has increased so significantly. And is almost universal. Government deserves the credit for that. The Millennium Development Goals target criteria for measurement results, I think, is from a world perspective, is less useful because, of course, it doesn't include what you guys already acknowledge being the problem, and that is the functionality of that infrastructure. I've read somewhere recently that. That the UN is in fact is re-looking at those goals, and I think functionality may very well actually become part of the new measures in the future. So I guess the one thing I have is really the honesty that needs to come with communicating those figures. Because, I mean, you acknowledge exactly what it is. The increase in access to infrastructure, and that we are, more or less largely on track to eradicate the backlog. But of course, I mean, when we communicate it, it always has to go with the reality. There's always the infrastructure is there, but of course, there are significant challenges. And I suspect that's largely a political issue more than anything else. But I think there. And this isn't, you guys have done an excellent job of it. But I do think that in the context of South Africa, we really do need to communicate those two key figures together. It's 95%, but we're well aware of the challenges of functionality of the way, which, is affecting, I think I had a parliamentary reply from the minister, about 12 million people in South Africa who don't have a reliable access to supply. But Chair, I think this is a very comprehensive presentation. It's very difficult, and not that I intend to. I mean, I think that the department has thought through the implications of this very well. It seems to be a credible plan on the table, and it's a credit to Mr. Fazer, who I know has a very strong control over this particular field. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. First of all, I would like to relate to the department that it has taken, you know, to attend to the MDGs. Because there was a request, by the way, that almost all the departments have to. But now, I'm very proud that through you, Chairman, I think I must congratulate you.
Thank all of us.
But now, Chairperson, as I'm looking at the 8 MDGs, by the way, they are very important because they cover the life, health of every citizen, you know, in our country, the MDGs. If you can follow them one by one. And now it says, that is slide 5, water-related goals. It is 7, or now I was worrying, what about MDG 1, eradicate extreme poverty and hunger? But I thought, I had to correct myself, that it falls under 7. Thank you very much. Chairperson, coming to municipal water scheme, I wonder if the state of South Africa is a true record of what I'm hearing. I just wonder if it does happen to all areas that the stats are indicating. Because let's take just the presenters might not be responsible for what I'm going to say. Let's take Mpumalanga as a municipality. You know, I was looking at those little children from that school when they were leaking from the tap trying to get to drink water, and I was made to understand that it will come just for that day and after 2 weeks nothing. You know, that's bush but great. And it is the largest municipality of Mpumalanga. Well, maybe it might just be few of them. I'm trying to correct myself. As it reads that South Africa seems to have made it for 2015, which I congratulate the department, if that can be a true reflection of true record. But now, when we try to look at the rural, when we try to look at the urban and the rural areas, it seems the rural areas are still affected in a way. You know, when we say we give the urban areas, we give them 80%. Then when it goes to rural areas, I would give them 50%, if not 40%. That worries me most. You know what? What worries me most, let's take the Eastern Cape. Some of those municipalities, you find that the pipes are installed, the taps are there, no water coming out of those taps. those people are still drinking the polluted water from the rivers. But I just wonder who installed those pipes and those taps when they're not functioning, you know? I'm just referring to set South Africa as I'm listening, and I'm a bit worried. Is it really a true reflection of what is said by the department? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also thank the department about the report. It shows that the thing that we are saying almost now is for the direction, because the issue that we've been trying about is this linking the municipality and the province and the national. So I think when they are trying to do that memorandum of understanding or working together, I think we'll be able to root out the cause, because the cause is not up here, it's down there at the villages, towns, is where the problem lies. I think if the department can carry on doing things like this and engaging, I think we will go somewhere, because as Honorable Zikalala have already alluded, there are in some of the rural there are pipes, but there is no water. I think if we are not having water in South Africa, if we can work harder to spare the water that we are having through our department, I think we will go somewhere. Thank you.
Any others?
Any
other
risk areas which are outside of the 24 DMs that we've been dealing with, where they've been service delivery protests and whatever. So those don't fall within the net of the interim water supply. Thanks.
Jay, I would like to spend some time with you, but what we're doing is that you actually said, do we have a database, can you get access to this? So we're linking all water sources, and we've got more than 4,400 dams now on the system that we highlighted. We've got a well-developed infrastructure. This is just an interesting slide. If you look at the formal water resources schemes, you see we've got about 336 water resources schemes, and these origins of agriculture and domestic, and irrigation is only the green. But even you see in these rural areas, we do have emerging farmer schemes that we should just get activated again, but it's just lying fallow out there in terms of that side of what education reform. But moving into that one, in Yaka Dam, that's Bushbuck Reach Water Resource. We built this massive dam, and we've got the technology now that you see the dam, and we've got about 10, 15 layers of photographs, or this aerial photography, you can zoom onto that dam, and you can see the beautiful dam out there. It's got economic potential for tourism, etc. as well. But if we go down to that area, you can see the dam with the whole Bushbuck Reach town itself. And it's interesting that you see the waterworks there, and you can see the pipelines, and we will zoom into each of these areas and go into detail. But then we take out that layer and we see all the communities as you refer to that. So we've got the dam there, and you can see the communities out there. Now the shocking thing is, you see the blue are the pipelines, and the greens are all the reservoirs out there. So that you see the infrastructure's there. And you see, no green area, no blue area. It's either yellow, which is like a 65% coverage, or orange is 25-50, and red. And how is it possible that exactly what you said, remember, that this is the pictures we see out there, and it's about purely about functionality. And we know that these people queue. I saw this tank stand there, the bunch of sand there, they queue for hours out there, and only water comes afternoon or etc. And we've got a dam on their doorstep. Boom. Now, there are different reasons for that. And that red area is due to that construction, the pipeline that was delivered that was not meeting the standards. And they're putting it back in the law pursuits, etc. on that one. But it doesn't take away that the southern side, which is close to Kruger Park, there's a waterworks at the southern side. They've got a waterworks here as well. And that should be operational. So I just want to say, we're trying to track all the schemes now and put the whole value chain together from the dam right to the works on the capital side. But certainly, this is a challenge that I'm probably just highlighting and to support you. Thanks.
What I want you to do, Mr. for the presentation for provincial MIG this performance. I saw the Eastern Cape is have the water scheme is 119, and the KZN is 117, and the MIG is KZN is already spent for the 100%, and Eastern Cape only for the expense for the 24%. I don't know this one. It's the local government always is cry and claim no funding, everything you can't do in the order MIG. But this MIG is quite important in the local government. But I don't understand why Eastern Cape only spends 24%. Whether it's water sanitation and this issue is they have the big amount, the 1.44 billion. But they only utilize 24%. I'd like to get more detail from the from your side. You can explain. And also, I think you highlighted this functionality, this political challenge. I also very serious for you indicated this challenge, because inside you highlight serious about dignity. I don't understand what means for you highlight serious about the. Very serious for the dignity. And because you are involved in political issue and the security risk. So I think from this challenge, I like from your department, can how you can improve it in the future for this challenge. Thank you.
Okay, so
the
phone has now taken us back because I've already chosen.
With the response quite quick. I mean, the under expenditure is a reflection of the poorly capacitated municipalities and their ability to deliver. And you possibly also saw, as reported in the press last week, that even in one of our programs, we had to shift funds away because of lack of performance on the municipality in the Eastern Cape, where some 50 million has been reallocated from project in King Sabata Jalanjebo because of them not being able to spend. So it's a capacity problem in the municipalities. The minister has certainly given us our marching orders on the programs where we have direct management control to look at other delivery mechanisms. And if a municipality doesn't have the capacity to implement a project, that we look at using our own entities to implement, or other mechanisms for implementation other than using the municipalities.
Chair, sure, I think one issue that we need to discuss is at the technical work session with Treasury as well, and where they said there's no new money, but we have to refocus our money. And they are said they are committed to revise the policy of how we manage the fund. It's not being performed. Can we use implementing agents or redirect? So that thing has been initiated. But I think in the end, it's project control and discipline in terms of doing that. But it's also from our side that we've got indirect management that we have to play a more influencing role to drive the systems. I discussed with Western Cape's provincial department, and there they actually spend 92% of their MIG fund on water. So that's the opposite side where they're totally committed. So I think it's about commitment and awareness about this as well. But what I'll do is I will talk to DCOG because they actually reporting on that to find out what's actually behind it, what's happening on submit that to me.
Okay. I think that's quite a bit. We can include some of it in our report.
I'll go up and make a lovely presentation. is literally the most amazing.
places where I think the report is lacking.
Yeah.
In fact, they pull out the results that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say that they included this intermediate water infrastructure. Okay, not mentioned at all. Unless I missed it, but I was reading through my copy and while they were talking about it, it was not here.
Can we start?
I'm
actually the way how I actually played it, and I actually went into the background, and that's actually what I also thought. I thought,
will you just check this, those two sentences, where you can, you'll have to change them and say different.
Okay.
Just, I thought that the phrase contains the construction of the Polari Dam and Sinclair River as a transfer tunnel, because they're building exactly the same dam as in Mohali, and it'll be stones with the cement. So it's a feeder dam. Polari is a feeder dam. So the feeder dam takes the water to country. But will you just check that one?
I will.
Those two sentences. Because I didn't think Mohali played a role in this at all. Not Mohali, sorry, Mohele. Mohele is the other dam. But Mohele is the power station, which I understood are towards South Africa's side where the water goes to the pump. Of course, you can keep the latter part of it, the comma, as well as advancing the infrastructure, environmental and social development programs in the city. Now, this sentence here, let's just keep it, but we'll change it slightly. The one that's been added. Thus, the Kingdom of Lesotho will benefit from further infrastructural development projects, comma, then add like dams, roads, and hydro power, comma, recruitment opportunities, and further, or no, sorry, additional sustainable royalties, and take out of about 450 million, because that's the other one, and you just say during the second phase of work. Take out the amount of 450 applies to the first phase. Okay? Everyone got it like that? Then phase two, water delivery is expected to come online based on the original treaty between the African Institute and the subsequent phase two agreement. The agreement on phase two of the Lesotho Island Water Project was presented to Parliament for approval by the South African delegation on behalf of the government. Independent of people of that, the administration of the project for South Africa was mandated by the government. What did you want to say there? The committee unanimously
tunneling rather than even the descriptions here relate to Mohali. Mohali is a bit taller than
what you must take out is a bell not to say that this dam doesn't go to the estuary. This dam takes the water to Katse. Katse, but this a bell mouth intake must come under the Katse dam.
Okay.
Okay. So that sentence you just take out there and put it under the Katse. You can just say you're in the headwater for the contamination water delivery system, actually. The feeder dam. Then the committee returns to the restriction of the Thank you. something that isn't in the report that maybe you should say under background. Somewhere you should write a paragraph on the commission. That the two countries, when signing this little project, agreed to a particular institutional arrangement and how it should be done, which is in the form of a commission with components from South Africa and from that, and that the implementation structure is called something development agency, with the CEO being a Lesotho citizen and the COO being a South African. Just a little paragraph like that on the government, so we don't have that, okay? I will do that. The line of 10 times, and then the super hasn't left her person referring to you, the committee, even though it's a very important thing. So, the super can make it more clear.
Joke anymore about it. I joke until now because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I really find this
the argument is, I have now sat yesterday, I don't know how many hours, sitting meticulously going through this damn stuff to get it ready for today so we can get it done. So at least that time won't go wasted, obviously, because what I'm going to do is take you through the amendment, just so that we can see that we're happy. And thank you. some things must be changed on the first page, okay? So remember that. Then the long title, we'll come back to. Then in the previous draft, the D enacted on page 3 wasn't there, it's there now. So I'm happy with that. That's been added. Then if there were amendments, I would imagine to the index, they should have been next
the Osman dispute is around marine protected areas. And so marine protected areas fall under the MLRA, which
is
the Marine Living Resources Act, which previously was an act under the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, and then the President, after the last elections, transferred 80% of that act to the Minister of Forestry and Fisheries, with the intention being, and this is disputed, with the intention being that the conservation functions remain with the Minister of Environment, and the fishing/food security functions with the Minister of Agriculture. So there exists legislation at the moment, and I'm just asking a question in terms of this topic, whether there shouldn't be a concomitant
special criteria or special grounds that are going to be set out in the regulations which are quite clear. The B part is, I was wondering whether it should only be offenses in terms of the act. I mean, what about someone who has a disposition to dishonesty and is guilty of all kind of fraud and stuff? So
for, and I know you'll read it, I just want to make one bit of comment. In the judgment which you have, the judge says explicitly that the department needs to get further clarification from the president. The judge says that, I think that a general understanding what the president may have wanted to do, but the words expressed in the proclamation don't support that. So the Department of Environment has been asked to get further clarification, and I guess it need be another proclamation, because it is actually in dispute. The rub of it is that the judge says it is not evident that he can't read from the proclamation, which I sent you as well, that the president expressly expected the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs to be the minister that oversees both gates whale watching. So we obviously as legislators have to be very careful here about the legislator in a field which actually may have been removed entirely from our portfolio committee. Even if that wasn't the intention of the president, the words don't exactly support us at the moment according to a judgment. And my other concern, if you didn't mention, Chair, is just on, and you'll be an expert on this, whether we should legislate on something which we